Let's get into the Word of God here tonight, and we'll just let the Lord have His way. So this is the third week. The first week we talked about who the Holy Spirit is, and we kind of did an introduction. And there were 7 points that we began to make, and I made them that night, and then I've been going through and breaking them down and showing you the scriptural basis for each one of these points. And thus far, we have seen from Scripture that every true believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit from the moment of conversion. But the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is not the same thing as the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so we saw that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the believer being filled with the Spirit in order to be more greatly empowered for Christian living and Christian service. It is the filling with the Spirit. And we saw that that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate and distinct experience from regeneration or being born again. We also saw that one must be born again in order to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we've gone through all these things in Scripture. We saw that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is promised to every believer, and that's where we left off last week. And I felt that was a very important thing for you to see and understand. So we've covered those points. And as I said last week, we closed out with really spending time showing you from Scripture that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is promised to every believer. The next point, the one we're going to cover this week, is the fact that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an important aspect of our Christian experience and therefore should be desired, sought, and entered into by all believers. And so that's what we're going to talk about this week. Let's ask the Lord, let's take a minute and pray. Let's thank Him for filling Josh in answer to our prayers, and let's believe Him to fill the rest as we pray and seek Him. Amen, and go on here. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be gathered here in the house of God, and we thank You, Lord, God, for confirming Your Word and, Lord, filling one young man with the Holy Spirit. And I pray and trust, Lord, that he'll enter into all that You have in this experience of the baptism in the Holy Ghost for his life. And, Lord, You'll just take him on and take him deeper and continue to work in his life, Lord. And, Father, let it just be a real change in his heart as Your Spirit has filled him up. Lord, I pray, God, that You would move and speak to us here tonight. You would continue to build faith in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, Lord. And God, that You would pour out of Your Spirit. We've been seeking You for a great outpouring of Your Spirit. And we ask, God, that it would begin right here and right now. And Lord, we'll give You the praise for it. We ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen and amen. As I was praying there and asking the Lord to cause this to make a change, I couldn't help but think of many, many years ago in the church in Boston. There was a woman in the church, and for some reason, she did not like my wife. And I can't understand that, because I like her. And she really had some bad feelings toward my wife for no reason. My wife had never done anything to her. And she didn't tell that to my wife, but she told it to a family member. And the family member went to my wife and said, "This is what this individual has been saying about you, and it really bothers me, and I don't understand why they feel this way." And so we went to prayer about it. And we asked the Lord to just do something and touch their hearts and change them. And one service, that woman got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I mean, she really got filled up with God and baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And from that day forward, my wife was one of the most favorite people in her life. And I don't know what it was, what the enemy had put in her mind, but when she got filled with the Holy Ghost, it changed it all. The Holy Ghost will make you love everybody. Amen? Praise God. So, His baptism in your life makes a change sometimes that you immediately notice, and it will continue to change you. The Holy Spirit will continue. He will continue to change you as you go on and let Him have His way in your life. Amen? All righty. So we're focusing on the fact tonight in this entire message that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a very important aspect of one's Christian experience. And if that is the case, it should be desired and sought and entered into by all believers. It's not to be thought of as something that, oh, it's nice if you receive this, it's okay, it'd be a good thing. It is really something that we need in our lives. And so the first point here I make, or the question I ask, is how do we know the baptism with the Holy Spirit is so important? I mean, why am I saying this? What biblical basis do I have for saying this? Well, the first point I make is that God does not offer anything that's unnecessary. If God has something for us, and we have seen already in this study that He desires for every believer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, if God desires that for every believer, there's a good reason for it. Amen? God is not offering something that is just unnecessary and maybe just a good idea. And Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11 is one place that we see that it tells us that God offers this. And John the Baptist is speaking here, and he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I." Anybody want to tell me his name? Anybody want to say his name just a little louder? Amen. Jesus. "He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, John the Baptist is inspired by the Spirit of God. This is God breathed now for him to tell us that Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Ghost. I don't think Jesus is doing something that's not important. Can you say amen? Amen? Now, some other points here as to how we know this is so important. Jesus himself did not begin his public ministry until he was filled with the Spirit. Now, I understand he is God with us, but he functioned on the earth as a man. He was fully God and yet fully man, but he lived the perfect, sinless human life and set the example for us. And in his setting the example for us, the first thing he did when he was about to begin his public ministry was to, he actually went through a period of fasting and prayer, but that was right after he was water baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And the Bible says he received the Spirit without measure. You could not measure the amount, if you will, of the Holy Spirit that he received. It was limitless. But he received the Holy Spirit, then went on, of course, needing that infilling of the Holy Spirit as a man, setting the example for us. He then went on and faced the temptation of the devil in the wilderness for 40 days, and then came in the power of the Spirit and began his public ministry. He did not begin his public ministry until he had first received the infilling of the Spirit, setting the example for us. Jesus also, point number three here, commanded his original disciples to receive the Spirit. It's recorded in John 20 and verse 22. "And he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Spirit." And so he is commanding them to receive the Spirit. Jesus also told his original disciples that they were to wait for the baptism with the Holy Spirit before beginning to carry out the Great Commission. After he was crucified and risen from the dead, and he begins to instruct them as to what they're to do after he ascends, he told them this in Luke 24 and verse 49. After he said to them, "You're going to be witnesses unto me," after he gave them the Great Commission to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he said in Luke 24 and verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Now, he had repeatedly given them the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he tells them now, I want you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then go and witness for me. And of course, 10 days they spent in the city of Jerusalem in a room seeking God, 120 disciples now, seeking the Father, preparing their hearts in His presence until the day of Pentecost took place, and the first experience of anyone being baptized in the Holy Ghost took place there in that upper room on that day, 10 days after the ascension of Christ into heaven. And they were all baptized with the Holy Ghost, it tells us, and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so they were to wait for that baptism with the Spirit before they went out and began to carry out the Great Commission. We're talking about how we know that this is so important. Also, point number five, the early church began with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I've just mentioned that from Acts 2. We talked about it last week as well. And so God began His church before all of the Acts of the Apostles took place that are recorded throughout the book of Acts, before anything really further took place in the church other than these 120 being prepared and waiting, He started the church with the experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Also, we saw last week, point number six, that Peter and John were sent many miles to pray for new believers in Samaria in order that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And we looked at that text last week, and if you remember, Philip had gone down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. We're going to look at that passage in a lot more depth next week, Lord willing, when we talk about the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But for now, we'll talk about what we mentioned with it last week, that Philip preached the gospel to the city of Samaria. He had great signs and wonders flowing through his life. The sick were healed and the demon-possessed were set free. And they saw the miracles that took place, and they turned, the entire city turned to believe the gospel. And they were baptized. And then at some point after that, not long after it, word got to Jerusalem, quite a distance away now, almost half the country away in Jerusalem. Word got to the disciples there that the city of Samaria had received Christ. And they immediately dispatched Peter and John to go pray for them that they might be brought into the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That was the whole reason, and as far as we read in Scripture, the only reason that they were sent on that journey was to pray these individuals through to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they came and laid hands on people and prayed for them, and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And so that surely indicates to us how important God feels that this experience is. Point number seven, the great church at Ephesus began with 12 men being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we also looked at that last week in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 7, and we saw that God was going to pioneer a church there, if you will, start a church there in Ephesus, and it started with 12 men who found out about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Paul laid hands on them and prayed for them, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they even began right there, immediately upon having received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, they began to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, and they begin to prophesy. May I say that generally speaking, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the open door into the gifts of the Spirit and so forth. Rarely, I would not say that it never happens, we can't put God in a box, but rarely do we see the gifts of the Spirit flowing where there's not a belief and an emphasis on the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It was after I was baptized in the Spirit that God began to work spiritual gifts in my life. And most of the time, that's where you see that that's the way it happens. I don't think we can put God in a box, But I do see that that seems to be the inroad, if you will, the open door into the gifts of the Spirit and so forth. And finally, point number 8 as to why or how we know, rather, not why, but how we know that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is important is because we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." And just so that somebody doesn't say, "Oh, well, I've already done that, been there, done that," it means, I want you to understand what it actually means. It is not just talking about a one-time experience. When you go back to the Greek, it literally means keep on being refilled with the Spirit. It is an ongoing process in your life to be filled with the Spirit, to stay filled with the Spirit, to enter into new infillings of the Spirit. We need to be filled up with God. We need to live and walk in the realm of the Spirit. Can you say amen? Just because someone has been baptized in the Holy Spirit is not a guarantee they're walking in the Spirit today. Amen? And so we are commanded, though, to be filled with the Spirit. And certainly, then, it is something that God would want us to do. Amen? To receive. And so we should seek out this experience. Excuse me. And when I say seek it out, I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about giving yourself to God and asking God to prepare your heart and bring this in your life. I'm talking about believing God. And in one of the messages coming up down the road a few weeks here, we'll go through and we'll see how the Scripture really tells us to prepare our hearts to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But, you know, just really reaching out in faith. And that faith is the way we receive everything from God. You understand that? Amen? Faith is the way we receive everything from God. We spend time in prayer, and God will work in our hearts to build a faith in our lives to prepare us. And I have seen some who are sitting right here who have been as close to receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit as anyone can be without actually receiving it. I've seen a few of you in times past, your lips are just chattering a mile a minute. You're just, and you know, it's just a step of faith. And Josh mentioned it. He found just something coming in him, and he stepped out in faith, you know, as the Holy Ghost was there wanting to fill him. And when he stepped out, man, the Holy Ghost just took over. And I think some of you are just a little afraid to step out on what God's given you. Amen. Maybe you're not even fully aware yet. Because I remember when, you know, I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost in that tent, and I told you about that, about 6 weeks after I got saved. The devil talked me out of the experience and told me later, a few weeks and months down the road, that I really didn't have the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I stopped speaking in tongues and wouldn't use it anymore because the devil had convinced me I didn't have it. And so after I was in Bible college, I talked to Brother Daly about this trial I was going through where I'm not sure if I really got the Holy Ghost or not. And he said, well, you know, he said, you don't really have to have the answer to that question. All you have to do is just seek the Lord that he'll fill you so full that there's no doubt in your mind that you have it. And he encouraged me to do that. And I spent about 3 weeks preparing my heart, seeking God, and really kind of wrestling with my faith. It was like, you know, the person with the stem on the apple. He loves me, loves me not. You know, it was, he's going to fill me, he's going to fill me not. And I was up and down and doubting. And finally, after about 3 weeks, and during this whole time, Jim Cassidy, one of my Bible college teachers, was teaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And my faith was being built up, and I was being prepared there, you know, to receive. And so finally this one day, about 3 weeks after I had begun to set my mind to believe the Lord, I finally kind of put my foot down, so to speak, and said, you know, I'm not going to be double-minded about this anymore. It's there in the Word of God. It's promised to me. Lord, I'm going to believe you for this, and I'm going to keep believing you until I receive. I'm not going to let my faith go on this roller coaster ride anymore. I'm going to believe you. And that day, was the day, just a couple hours after I prayed that way, God filled me up. And I mean, He filled me up to where there was no doubt in my mind that I was baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And one of the tongues I was speaking was the same one that I spoke that night in the tent, and along with many others that He gave to me after that. And I realized, hey, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost back then. But when the Lord filled me like that, I realized, and I hadn't realized it before, that there were many times I could have entered into this, and I just didn't know how. I just didn't realize it. But once He gave me that new infilling, I realized, man, I could have entered into this weeks ago and maybe even months ago, that many times the Lord had been moving on me to give me a new infilling, and I just didn't know how to respond yet. And that's okay. Amen. You'll find out. Amen. You don't have to stress over it. You don't have to just wring your hands. You'll find out how to let the Lord fill you. Just keep on reaching out in faith and expecting that God will do what He said He'll do. Can you say amen? All right, point number B about the middle, point letter B rather, about the middle of your page. Not only did we talk now about how do we know that this is so important to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but why is it so important? Does the Bible tell us why this is important? And I make a point under this first bullet here. We've seen that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the believer being filled with the Spirit in order to be more greatly empowered for Christian living and Christian service. Now, while the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not a guarantee of the things I'm going to talk about, it certainly opens the door to the things I'm going to talk about here, okay? So just because you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean the points I'm going to make are automatically the case in your life. But certainly the door to that has been opened. And as we walk in the Spirit and as we remain filled with the Spirit, this will be the case. So I'm answering the question, why is the baptism with the Holy Ghost so important? Point number one, the church and individuals will lack power and effectiveness without the baptism with the Holy Spirit. All right? We'll lack power and effectiveness. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now, it doesn't mean you have no anointing to witness. It doesn't mean you have no power whatsoever in your life if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. But if you don't eventually enter into it, and if the church doesn't preach it, and believers are not being filled with the Spirit, the church is going to gradually lose its power. If you're not going in the power of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be going in some other means. Human effort and losing the power of God. We find out that Acts 10:38 tells us that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Amen. This is what the church needs. We don't need a better program. We don't need better plans. We need more of the power of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so if God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power in order to do the work of God, then that's what God is anointing the body of Christ with now. And if we lack in the baptism with the Holy Spirit, we're going to lack in the power of God and the effectiveness in our witness, sometimes even in our prayer life. I said to Josh last night, I said, it makes a difference in your prayer life when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, doesn't it? He said, oh, yes, big grin on his face. Man, he's grinning just like I've never seen Josh grin like that before. Isn't God good? God is good, amen? And that anointing on your prayer life that the Holy Spirit brings makes a difference. Later, we'll be talking about the benefit of using that prayer language of speaking in other tongues that the Lord has given you. Sometimes you find it hard to get through in prayer, and just beginning to use that prayer language can help you really break through into the presence of God. And I think often Spirit-filled believers don't use that often enough, and we certainly should. 1 Corinthians 2:4 speaks of the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said that his speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, And we know 3 days after he was saved, he was baptized in the Spirit, because we saw it last week. Ananias came and laid hands on him and prayed that his eyes would be opened and that he would be filled with the Spirit. Amen? And so he preached under the power of God. Point number two as to why the baptism in the Holy Spirit is so important. Not only will the church and individuals lack power and effectiveness without it, but the church and individuals will often lack victory without the baptism with the Holy Spirit. I'm reading to you Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11 and 12, where John said, as we quoted earlier, that Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He goes on and says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge, which means thoroughly cleanse his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now John tells us that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then he breaks down what that's all about and why he does that and what he's going to do in that. And so he speaks about this now, and he says that he has his fan in his hand. It's talking about wheat. We talked about this recently, and he's using an analogy to help us understand what the Lord does. What the wheat farmers would do in those days without combines and so forth, they use the wind to separate the chaff from the wheat. You see the chaff flying up behind the combines, right? Well, they would take this thing that is translated here at this time, and when the translation is done, it's called a fan. It was like a big thing that would put you in mind of a shovel. It was a handle with a big flat thing on the end that you could scoop up a bunch of the grain with it, and you'd throw it up into the air so that the wind blowing could separate the chaff from the wheat. The wheat was the part of the grain that was good for food. The chaff was the part that was of no value, and when they had a big pile of that chaff, they would burn it up. It represents, the wheat represents the new child of God and the new nature that God has given you. The chaff represents the flesh, that part of our lives which must be burned up by the Holy Spirit. John says that Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's going to thoroughly cleanse his floor. That's the place where they had the wheat that had to be cleansed of the chaff. And he's going to burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, when we think of unquenchable fire, we think about hellfire. But this is not hellfire. This is more powerful fire. This is Holy Ghost fire. This is fire that burns up the flesh, burns out sin out of our lives. And we need that power, that fire that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as we continue on now into this relationship, if you will, with the Holy Spirit, we will find that that fire of God burns the chaff out of our lives. I told you the story recently of the couple that was on the mission field. And they were not with a Pentecostal organization, but as they sought after God, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And their testimony was this: we thought we were spiritual people when we went out on the field. But when we got baptized in the Holy Spirit began to bring the dirt to the surface that was in our lives. And we're being cleansed of that. And he continues now this cleansing process. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. And that's what John was talking about here. Now listen, if we don't see the importance and if we don't ever enter into the baptism with the Holy Spirit, our lives are not going to be as clean as God wants to make them. Amen? We need that cleansing that comes as a result of the baptism with the Holy Spirit and moving on in what God does when he fills us. Please understand that just because someone speaks in tongues doesn't mean, and maybe genuinely has the baptism of the Holy Spirit I'm talking about, and they now speak with tongues, does not mean that they are living pure lives and living holy lives, because you've got to go on with God. It's a daily walk. Amen? And it's a daily work. And you don't somehow receive everything God has for you that day when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. But you do receive the beginning of the power of God that will lead you into a greater cleansing than what you've experienced in your life to this point. Does that make sense? Now, of course, when we talk about this, we understand the power of the Holy Ghost is required for victory. Every victory you have in your life, whether you're baptized in the Holy Spirit or not, you know it came by the power of the Holy Ghost. You didn't conquer something in your own power, did you? Some of you have been washed from sins of the past and lifestyles of the past that none of us, all of us, really, I say some of you, I don't mean just you only, I'm on the boat as well as you are. Some of us have been washed from things we'll probably never tell anybody what we did and how we lived before Christ. Some things are just better left unsaid sometimes, amen? But we're so thankful that the power of God delivered us when we committed our lives to Jesus Christ. That was the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the same power that God wants to give you more of in the baptism with the Spirit. Amen? And that is the only way that we overcome anything in our lives is by the power of God. You do not do it in yourself. Romans 8:13 says that through the Spirit we mortify the deeds of the body. That means to render them idle and useless. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, the power of the Holy Ghost is required to walk in victory. And the more of the power of the Holy Ghost we have in our lives, the better off we're going to be in that process. How do we get more of the power of the Holy Ghost? We seek it out. We talk to God. We yield our hearts to the Lord. We reach out in faith. And as you're doing that, one of the things God's going to do is baptize you in the Holy Ghost, giving you a greater source of power than you ever imagined that you could have. Can you say amen? Let's go on. Point number three here, talking about why the baptism of the Holy Ghost is so important. And I'll say this, the church and individuals' homes may lack unity without the baptism in the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Spirit controlling our lives brings unity with others. Amen? The Bible in Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of, in verse 3, the unity of the Spirit. The more then that we are yielded over to the Holy Spirit and living full of the Holy Spirit, the more we're going to have unity, amen, in our assembly as believers, in our homes, etc. So I think that's a few good reasons why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important, don't you? Amen. Turn to page 7 on the back of your page, if you will. So then, having shown you from Scripture that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is important, having shown you why it's important, I pick up with the second part of the point we're making, and that is that believers should desire, seek out, and enter into the baptism with the Holy Spirit. If you have not yet begun to ask God to baptize you in the Spirit, you should. Amen? If it's something you don't see the need for, you should ask the Lord, why don't I see the need for this? And Lord, change my thinking. Amen? Because God doesn't offer something we don't need. And, point number D here, I make this point. This is for us pastors. And pastors, I'm skipping for a little bit, but pastors should labor in preaching and in prayer to cause all members of the church to be baptized with the Spirit, to stay filled with the Spirit, and to walk in the Spirit. Amen? That's my job, to labor to bring you into that experience. And I hope for somebody, I know for some already it is the case, and I hope for somebody else that a hunger for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is being stirred in your heart through this teaching that we're doing. And I want to say this, if you already are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I hope a hunger for a new infilling of the Holy Ghost is being stirred in your heart. Because we can't live on yesterday's experience. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost today. Listen, if our whole church is, I say filled, meaning the group that we have. So I don't mean filling the place. I mean just this group. Okay? If we are, if these pews that are filled with people that are full to overflowing of the Holy Ghost, I'm full and you're full of the Holy Ghost, and we come together in this place full of the Spirit, there is no telling what God will do. Can you say amen? No telling what the Lord will do. We need a new infilling. We need to stay full of God. Amen. We need God to fill every fiber of our being. So I'm talking about now the point that believers should desire, seek after, and enter into the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And the first point I make is that we are instructed to seek those things which are above. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of the throne of God." What that means is seek the things that come from God. Amen. That are of the Lord. And nothing could be more of the Lord than the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We are instructed by God to seek that. Amen. And seeking, you understand, I hope everybody here understands, I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about getting into God's Word and talking to Jesus and laying your faith out there and reaching out to God, taking the promises of God's Word that we look at in this study and laying them out in prayer before the Lord. Lord, help me to embrace that promise and enter into what you have for me. Lord, prepare my heart. Lord, fill me with your Spirit to overflowing. Can you say amen? We're instructed in God's Word to ask for the latter rain. And the latter rain refers to the last day outpouring of the Spirit. The Bible talks about the former rain and the latter rain. And the rain represents the Holy Spirit. It's easy to see that in Scripture. And water represents the Holy Spirit. And the former rain refers to the dispensation of the Spirit that was before the cross and before the church age. Believers were not indwelt by the Spirit, and there was not a baptism with the Spirit where believers had the promise that they could be filled with God's Spirit. But because of the cross, and because we are in this church age, this is the time of the latter rain. Amen. This is the time where God said through Joel, this time would come in which I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And God is pouring out His Spirit. We are still living in the time of latter rain. And if we ever needed more of that latter rain, we sure do need it now. Amen. If we ever needed more of the outpouring of the Spirit of God, if we ever needed young people to be filled with the Holy Ghost to overflowing, if we ever needed middle-aged and old people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we need it now. This world is not becoming a better place. It's not becoming easier to win souls to Christ. Amen. There are demonic forces at work. There are all kind of things going on, but we need then to be filled up with God. Can you say amen? This is really an exciting time to live. But we would look and say, it's a time where we must be full of the Holy Ghost, because we're not going to reach the world on our looks. At least I'm not going to. Amen? You can say amen. That's all right. We're not going to reach the world based on our efforts alone. Those efforts in reaching out must be anointed by the Holy Ghost. We're not going to see this tent revival in September be a ginormous success. I'll use my wife's word. Just because we do something, and just because we're out there in a tent singing and preaching, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need God to draw the souls. Can you say amen? We need God's power to be there to meet them when they come. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction into the hearts and lives of men. And I'll tell you what, we need to go down there as an army full of the Holy Ghost. We need to go on with God as an army full to overflowing of the Spirit of God, because there is no other power other than the power of God that's going to impact this lost, dying world for Christ. We're instructed in Zechariah 10:1, ask of the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Guess what? God is not only telling us to ask, He never tells us to ask for something he won't do. In the very fact that he's telling us to ask for rain in the time of the latter rain, he's saying, I will answer. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Can you say amen? Point number three, we're instructed to pray, actually to ask, seek, and knock to receive the Holy Spirit. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 11, and we'll close with this verse. Luke chapter 11. Anybody ready to pray for somebody to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. Josh came up Sunday morning asking for prayer for the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking, my first thought was, this is a million miles away from what I preached. But so what? God doesn't need to, you know, this morning. And I said, so what? Let's pray for him to receive the Holy Ghost. He didn't receive it Sunday morning. If you remember, I said to him, I said, did you speak in tongues, Josh? He said, almost. And so then Monday night, thank God, God filled him. Can you say amen? Hey, it's all right to say, Lord, I want some of what Josh got. Amen. I want more of you, Lord. I remember Brother Daly sharing the testimony while you turn into Luke chapter 11. I'll tell you what, I love Brother and Sister Daly's testimony of how they came into Pentecost. They were saved in a good, solid Bible preaching church. And they were there in that church for 3 or 4 or 5 years, whatever it was. And it was not a church that had the understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they taught the Word of God and taught, you know, good sound doctrine and so forth. Just didn't have the insight into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times folks have been taught that God doesn't do that, and they can't get beyond that false teaching. And later in these lessons, we're going to cover some of those false ideas and misconceptions and look at some of those things and what the Scripture says about them. But anyway, there was a group of young people in the church that read in the Word of God about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and began to have prayer meetings together seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They didn't really understand altogether what it was, but they saw it there in the Word of God and they hungered for more of God. I remember the Daily saying they felt like there's got to be more in this Christian walk than what we've experienced thus far. And they began to seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, one night, Brother Daly was having some chest pain. And so he was going to see his doctor. And I think he left the house to go see his doctor to see why he had this chest pain. And then he realized, my doctor's not in this evening. And so instead, he decided to go to a tent revival. He'd seen a tent set up in town there in upstate Pennsylvania. Somewhere near Titusville, Pennsylvania, might have been right in Titusville, where they lived. And he'd seen this tent, and he decided to go to that tent revival and see what was going on there and what that was all about. And it was a Pentecostal evangelist that had set up that tent and was holding tent revivals there. And that night, the Lord touched him. I don't know if he had hands laid on him or if the Lord just did it, but the Lord took away that chest pain. And so he went and told his wife about this service and, you know, the tent revival going on every night. And they decided to go back together the next night. And I think maybe took Brother Daly's mother with them that night as well. They were all three Christians. None of them had the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Didn't really know for sure what it was, but at least Brother and Sister Daly had been seeking it. So all three of them went to that service that night. And that night, it was a really wound up, on fire night. You know what I mean? The Lord was just there and moving, and they were having church. I mean, they were shouting and jumping and dancing in the Holy Spirit and just letting go and letting God. And Sister Daly was there in that tent, and she watched all this, and she's standing there and thinking, this is not necessary. You don't have to act like this in church. And that's what her thought was in her mind. But then all at once, the evangelist said, Here it comes. It's the wind of the Holy Ghost. And a wind began to sweep through that tent. And it was not a natural wind. It was the wind of the Holy Ghost. And as it swept through that tent, it hit people and they started dancing in the Holy Ghost. And it hit Sister Daly, and she was determined that she wasn't going to dance in the Holy Ghost. But when it hit her, she began to dance, and she grabbed a hold of the tent pole to hold on and danced around that tent pole that night. And fell under the power of God and lay there speaking in tongues, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And she got up out of the sawdust there that they had laid on the tent that night after dancing in the Holy Ghost and getting filled up with the Holy Spirit. And she left there and she didn't think anymore, that's not necessary. Brother Daly saw this and realized that his wife got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and he didn't get it. And so the next day, he went to his place of business, and instead of putting the sign up that said they were open for business, he put the closed sign on the door, and he went in the back room and spent the day in fasting and prayer, seeking God, that God would baptize him in the Holy Ghost. I would guess this was probably back in, this was before you were born, right, Jude? So back in the 1920s. No. No, it would have been probably the late 50s, 58, 59, somewhere around there. 1960, somewhere in that vicinity, probably late 50s. So he prayed and fasted all day. I heard him share the testimony many times. He said, I was green with envy. My wife got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I didn't get it and I wanted it. And so he prayed all that day and they went out the next night to the tent revival. And that night they're having the song service and worshiping God, and the evangelist stood up and began to prophesy. And when he prophesied, Brother Daly saw a red arrow come out of his mouth. Of course, the Lord was showing him this vision of this red arrow that came out of his mouth. He said, my son, and this arrow came out of his mouth. And the arrow went right across, probably nobody else saw it, but Brother Daly, went right across the tent and hit Brother Daly in the chest. When it hit him, his hands went up and he began to speak in other tongues and praise God and was baptized in the Holy Ghost there in that tent. Amen. God is on the move at that time, and God is on the move now. God wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit, and we won't limit how God can do it. It's in His Word, and so I believe it. Amen. The song says that we sing sometimes, it's real, it's real. I know it's real. It's that Pentecostal blessing, and I know it's real. And in that little song, if you're familiar with that song, it goes through, and it's someone, whoever wrote it, was telling the story of how they went to a Pentecostal church and they saw this stuff going on and God filling people's lives. They weren't quite sure at first what to think about it. Their dad had told them that God doesn't do that kind of thing. And so it goes through and tells the story in song. And finally, as it goes through, you know, each verse builds a little further, and then this individual writing the song, finally with a hunger in his heart, he goes to the altar, throws up his hands and begins to worship God, and the Lord filled him in that old time way. And then he said, it's real, it's real. I know it's real. It's that Pentecostal blessing, and I know that it's real because he got filled up himself. But it's first got to be in Scripture, and we sure been seeing that it is. Amen. And then if it's in Scripture, then when I experience it, that doubly tells me it's real, because God already said it and I have a right to expect it and believe for it. Can you say amen? I'm reading in Luke chapter 11, where I had you turn, verse 9. Jesus is speaking and he says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I'm going to say it one more time as you stand with me to your feet. How much more shall your heavenly Father... Say amen, Brother Josh, huh? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask as the song begins to play here, I want to ask those who are still seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit to come line up right at this altar, if you would, please. Slip out of your seat quickly and come, if you would. Behind them, I'm going to ask for the young man that just got baptized in the Holy Spirit to come and stand behind someone. I'm going to ask Sister Esther, Brother Sheldon, and Brother Sean, if you would come. Brother Ben, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to come. Brother Garrett, would you come, please? And I want in the first row those individuals who are seeking the baptism with the Holy Spirit tonight. In the row directly behind them, somebody standing behind each one to pray for them. And I know Linda needs a physical touch tonight. She started getting those treatments for those cancers, those skin cancers on her head, and it gets in your system. It's been making her sick. Sister Esther, get right behind her if you would. Pray for healing in her body and pray for her to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'd like each one that's seeking the baptism to have somebody standing behind them. Brother Jack, you have been baptized in the Spirit. All right. Maybe step back so somebody, I don't know if we got more, but you lay hands on somebody that's seeking it, would you? Brother Jack, maybe lay hands there on Sister Linda. Praise the Lord. Is this all we've got tonight, seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit? All right, the rest of you, if you want to, can come and stand behind them. I want those that are seeking the baptism right up at the altar, those I've asked to pray directly behind them, and then the others filling in behind that, just stretch your hand toward them and ask the Lord. Sister Candy, if you're able.